Good afternoon. I'd like to call the Senate Community Regional Affairs Committee to order. Today's Thursday, April 22nd. Let the record reflect the time is 3:32 p.m. Today we have present Vice Chair Senator Myers. We have Senator Wilson on the phone and myself, Chair Hughes. Senator Gray Jackson has a bill up in another committee and hopefully will be able to join us at some point. Please remember to silence or turn off your cell phones. Today we have Christopher Dickrell with Senator Reckers. Welcome and thank you. And Larson Walters with LAO. Thank you for being here. And Dawson Mann is our aide. We have just one item on the agenda today. The committee will take up Senate Joint Resolution 13, Improved Broadband Internet Access, sponsored by this committee, the Senate Community and Regional Affairs Committee. We will be hearing an initial presentation on the bill, then invited testimony. We'll take up amendments for SJR 13, and those we received three by the deadline. And then after that, we will hold public testimony on SJR 13 and with the goal to move it out of committee as amended. So I'd like to invite Dawson Mann up to the table, and I'll make a brief, some introductory remarks to get us started. And then Dawson will tell us what the bill actually does as far as the resolves, which is the meat of the bill. We're fast-tracking this, as you know, because we are expecting there to be a pretty good amount of funding possibly coming in the infrastructure bill that Congress is working on that we expect out maybe later in the summer or fall. We also have a number of dollars that have come in, even in the ARPA funding right now. There's about $112 million. There's about $400 million that have gone to the tribes for through, I believe it was the Consolidated Appropriations Act. And then just part of the Alaska plan, that's about $150 million that comes in a year for infrastructure. So when you put all that together, it's quite the opportunity to looking at getting our state covered with better broadband access. So as you know, in many parts of the state, the internet can be extremely limited, slow, and prohibitive in terms of cost, particularly in the unorganized borough and the rural areas. And in order for these regions to grow and increase their autonomy, an economic base, as you know, is fundamental to that. And increasingly, the internet is necessary for an economic base in this day and age. So as you know, we have exceptional challenges to keep up with the rest of the developed world, considering we have vast distances, we have geographical impediments, tundra, mountains, bodies of water. These facts, combined with our harsh winter weather, our low business demand in certain areas, and limited daylight certain times of the year, these are all not only challenges to the initial deployment of the infrastructure, but to the ongoing operation and maintenance, which can entail exorbitant costs. So, internet has been readily available in certain parts of the state, how much we've seen the benefit with education, healthcare, commerce, and during the pandemic, ability for people to work from home. So we know if it's really been helpful in the areas where it's good, we know it would bring similar to the other areas of the state, and we want that to happen. So SJR aims to address the issue of broadband access, speed, capacity, affordability in our state by urging Congress to include the information highway in any forthcoming federal infrastructure legislation, just as roads, bridges, ports, and other projects essential for a functional and vibrant society are included. Passage of SJR 13 would send a clear message that the legislature firmly supports broadband deployment in the state, recognizes the benefits of broadband, urges engagement with all stakeholders throughout Alaska, and requests technology-neutral and flexible funding criteria in federal appropriation legislation to allow for Alaska's unique terrain and size. And in the bill itself, Dawson's going to go over the therefore be it resolved, those sections. So I'm just going to briefly mention the whereas, cover the fact that, as I said, technology is foundational for economic development. We learned how essential broadband was during COVID for various areas, and it broadband is going to be needed for the ongoing innovation that we're seeing in many sectors. Broadband is going to be very necessary and has proven to be very important whenever we have any type of crisis, whether it's earthquakes or any kind of emergency situation. And we also want to point out in the whereas that broadband providers up to this point, well, actually between 2017 and 2020, have invested more than $1 billion in just that three-year period. So there's real commitment, and we've got skin in the game. But we also know that the need and the cost outpaces what we as a state would have the ability to make happen, to complete the broadband infrastructure alone. So with that covers the whereas and my introductory remarks. So Dawson, if you put yourself on the record, you can go over the resolved sections, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Dawson Mann, staff to Senator Hughes, and I will be reading a brief summary of the resolved statements within Senate Joint Resolution 13. The first resolved statement states that the legislature supports further broadband deployment and urges the administration to streamline right-of-way and review processes related to broadband. The second resolved statement states that the legislature urges the administration to avoid unnecessary fees and roadblocks to broadband deployment. The third resolved statement states that the legislature urges the administration to seek input from broadband providers in the state before making changes to policies relating to broadband. The fourth resolved statement, states that the legislature urges the U.S. Congress to include broadband funding in any federal infrastructure plan, along with other forms of vital infrastructure. I will also note that it is our understanding that in the initial rollout of the current infrastructure bill presented by the Biden administration, that roughly $100 billion was set aside for broadband funds. The fifth result, therefore be it resolved, states that the legislature urges the Alaska Congressional Delegation to advocate for flexible funding parameters to help address Alaska's unique challenges, such as vast distances between communities, harsh winters, mountainous terrains, and extensive tundra. Copies of this resolution will be delivered to the President of the United States, congressional leadership in both chambers, the Alaska Congressional Delegation, the Governor of Alaska, and the Commissioner of all departments under the Governor's administration. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Mann. At this point, I want to put on the record that a couple minutes ago, Senator Gray Jackson joined us. Welcome this afternoon.
Thank you.
So we've just gone over what the resolution does. So now I will open it to any comments or questions members might have. And I also want to point out that we do have some invited testimony on the phone. We might have to use them if there's a question we can't answer. But do members have any remarks or questions? Senator Wilson, I want to give you an opportunity since I cannot see you. Do you have any remarks or questions?
Not at this time, Madam Chair.
Thank you. And thank you for joining us today, too. So we will move then to invited testimony. And first up, we have Ryan Ponder. He is with MTA, Matanuska Telephone Association, which should really be Matanuska Technology Association, I think. And he's the Director of Legal, Regulatory, and Government Affairs. So, Ryan, if you will still please state your name for the record and your affiliation and provide your testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Ryan Ponder. I am the Director of Legal, Regulatory, and Government Affairs at Matanuska Telephone Association. We will be putting that name change out during our public annual meeting this year, so that should be coming. Matanuska Telephone Association, more commonly known as MTA, is unique. As a nonprofit cooperative, MTA is focused on serving the needs of the company's owners. This is because MTA is Alaska-owned by all of its member customers. MTA has seen and experienced firsthand a lifetime worth of advancements in technology. MTA was established in 1953, decades before the phrase digital age was even thought of. Clearly, if adopted and implemented, Senate Joint Resolution 13 will help MTA's customers stay connected well into the future with their families, community, healthcare needs, education, employment, and commerce. SJR 13 accurately portrays the essential lifeline that broadband has become for our society. If adopted, the proposed resolves that the Alaska State Legislature would support to include widespread broadband deployment by removing state-imposed right-of-way and permitting roadblocks that have at some points delayed MTA's broadband deployment projects by many months, or fee structures that take away funds that would otherwise be applied to broadband deployment in our communities. Seeking broadband providers' input before making policy changes affecting broadband providers, and calling upon the United States Congress to include broadband in the 2021 federal infrastructure legislation, coupled with urging our Alaska delegation to advocate for flexible funding parameters, will all assist in future-proofing the way Alaskans stay connected. MTA supports SJR 13 and thanks you, thanks this committee for the opportunity to testify before you today. This concludes my comments. Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee.
Thank you, Ryan. It's good to see someone from back home, too. Appreciate your joining us today. Next, we have Christine O'Connor. She's Executive Director of Alaska Telecom Association. Christine, please introduce yourself for the record and provide your testimony today.
Thank you, Chair Hughes. It's a pleasure to be here again today. For the record, my name is Christine O'Connor, and I am the Executive Director of Alaska Telecom Association. I'm also a lifelong Alaskan who grew up in rural Alaska, and I still go home to Bristol Bay every summer. So I know what a game changer broadband is, and I'm deeply committed to finding more ways to get broadband to all Alaskans. ATA's member companies are the telecommunications providers of Alaska. They provide landline, mobile, and broadband services. ATA's members are committed to continually improving and extending Alaska's broadband networks. And as you mentioned, Chair Hughes, they have invested over $1.2 billion in upgrades and deployment just since 2017. Thank you to the committee for sponsoring Senate Joint Resolution 13. And thank you for taking a deep dive into broadband at the hearing last week. SJR 13 makes important findings and urges actions which will result in more broadband access for Alaskans. Unnecessary or burdensome fees can be the factor that blocks projects or needlessly delays them. So by resolving to avoid these obstacles, that can make projects viable, facilitating more broadband deployment. Engagement with stakeholders is critical to help identify effective policies which will encourage and support both operation and deployment of broadband networks. And urging the United States Congress to dedicate funding for broadband infrastructure, which recognizes Alaska's unique needs, is a powerful positive message which is likely to result in transformational opportunities for broadband expansion. SJR 13 expresses important commitments to broadband service and makes recommendations which will be effective in supporting access for all Alaskans. So thank you for your time and allowing me to speak this afternoon. And again, thank you for sponsoring SJR 13.
Thank you very much, Christine. Does anyone have any questions, Christine? Senator Wilson, do you have any questions for Christine?
No, Madam Chair, just wanted to thank both her and Mr. Ponder.
Yes, thank you. And so I'll throw out, because I didn't ask for questions for Mr. Ponder, did you have a question? Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Christine. And our third invited testimony this afternoon is former Senator Liesl McGuire, who is with OneWeb. Welcome back, Liesl.
Hi. Good afternoon, Madam Chair, Vice Chairman Myers, and members of the Senate Community and Regional Affairs Committee. It's lovely to see your faces again. For the record, my name is Liesl McGuire. I'm here representing OneWeb today. OneWeb is the first Leospatial constellation project licensed and committed to covering all of Alaska. In our next launch, Madam Chair, in May, we will complete our full coverage, so it's exciting. It's an honor to be here before you today to put on the record and express OneWeb's support for Senate Joint Resolution 13. We're encouraged by the leadership and focus this committee has put on the issue of rural broadband connectivity and the importance of bridging the digital divide. SJR 13 makes important findings about the impact improved broadband infrastructure could have on the lives of all Alaskans. It identifies important steps that should be taken by Congress in infrastructure funding, urges the governor's office to seek input from broadband providers before making critical policy changes that impact us providers, and urges the Alaska delegation to advocate for that important, flexible broadband funding parameter that we need. I want to say it's been an honor to have testified before you earlier last week and have followed the work of this committee. As a lifelong Alaskan that has lived both in rural and urban areas, I'm excited at the progress that has been made. And stand by for any questions you might have in the area of satellite. We're excited to work with ATA and excited to work with all of the other folks that have been on the line today and in previous hearings.
Thank you very much. We appreciate your testimony. And just for those that might be listening, when you referred to LEOs, that stands for Low Earth Orbit Satellite. Is that correct?
Correct, Madam Chair. It is 1,200 kilometers or less, so it's that space closest to the Earth. Neospatial is the next delta, and then geospatial. And what makes it so exciting and revolutionary and game-changing is that space historically has been occupied by NASA and other sovereigns. And so we were the first licensed by both the ITU and the FCC to put a constellation into that area of space, so it's closer to the Earth and therefore better latency.
Thank you. And just also for folks to understand the difference, is the older satellites that had great latency, the GEOs, the geospatial satellites, are they 75,000 miles as compared to the 1,200?
That's correct, Madam Chair. 32 to 35,000 kilometers from the Earth.
Okay. All right.
Well, and then the other uniqueness about a constellation, again, I explained in previous testimony, the size is down to the size of a washing machine versus a school bus. And then it's putting them into a constellation. In this case, at 240, will cover in polar orbit the entire of the state, so that they're in a continuous motion circumnavigating in a handshake. So we're not relying on a single satellite.
Yeah, thank you for that. And I'm hearing maybe it's not for this, but there's satellites also the size of a basketball, so they're getting smaller and smaller.
There are. It's incredible.
All right. Thank you very much. Any questions for former Senator McGuire? Senator Wilson, do you have any questions or comments? I guess he doesn't, or he's having trouble getting through or something, but we'll keep moving if he speaks up. Senator Wilson, thank you very much. Liesl, we appreciate. Say hello to
Grayson. I'm always available.
Say hello to Grayson for me.
I will.
All right, at this time, we are going to take up amendments. So, do we have any, let's see. Let's take it out easy. We're back on the record. I believe we have an amendment from Senator Myers.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move amendment number one.
And I'll object for purposes of discussion. Senator Myers.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So the point of amendment number one here is that we recognize that we are asking the federal government to spend public dollars on privately owned infrastructure and inject money into private companies. And as we're doing that, I believe that what we should be asking for is a little bit of bang for our buck there. And while we recognize, of course, that it would improve the private economy, and that's always a good thing, but we also recognize that we want a little bit more direct return for the state for the public money that is getting expended. And so we're asking that that any company that is that end up benefiting from some of this public money could turn around and use that to provide reduced rates to the state, the municipalities, maybe even the federal government where applicable, to recognize where the money is coming from and to give us a little bit of a return on investment there. I imagine we can use this to increase the reliability in our school districts. Of course, you know, we're talking about remote areas for the state for DNR, fish and game, healthcare, which of course impacts health and social services, a number of other state and local agencies and subdivisions. And so we're just asking for a little bit of help with the return on investment there.
Thank you. Thank you. And I think this kind of naturally happens because if they were having to pay for it, they would have to recoup that by charging more to the consumer. So, but it's important to really put it out there, and I agree we want to see that happen. And I'll just point out some of our providers are indeed private companies. Some of them are co-ops as well. With that, are there any further comments or questions about the Amendment B1 of Senator Myers? Senator Gray Jackson.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Senator Myers, for the amendment. But I just want to make sure that too much pressure isn't going to be put on consumers, because I don't know how many of you are familiar with GCI and the pressure that's put on consumers when they don't have agreements with providers. So I just want to make sure that doesn't happen. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you for that point. Senator Wilson, I'm just going to, if you just interrupt, is his line unmuted so he can speak whenever he'd like? Okay, so I won't keep bugging you, Senator Wilson. If you want to pipe up, just go for it at any point.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just have similar concerns to Senator Gray Jackson's concerns.
Okay. Did you have further comments? I'm not sure if you got cut off or.
No, ma'am.
Okay. Thank you. Well, that's very good to be aware of that. So at this point, I will remove my objection. Are there any further objections? Seeing none, Amendment B1 is adopted. And at this time, I will move. The next one is my amendment. So I will move Amendment B2.
And I will object for purposes of discussion.
Okay. This amendment makes a small change to reassure us that all stakeholders will be engaged, and there'll be input by the administration, and everyone will be at the tables, because we have different types of technology providers. We have to take all that into account, and municipalities and such, to make sure that the needs are understood. So we have lots of stakeholders, and we want everyone's voice to be part of the discussion. So that, any questions about Amendment B2? Seeing none.
I will remove my objection.
Thank you, Senator Myers. Are there further objections? Seeing none, Amendment B2 has passed. The next amendment is also mine. I move amendment number 3.
I will object for purposes of discussion.
So amendment B3 came out of discussions from the various stakeholders that we needed to make sure that we talk about things, a technology neutral entity within the state. And I go back to, it was a number of years ago, I'm trying to remember when I started the unmanned systems task force and work. There was no entity in the state, and now it's housed in the Department of Transportation. But for several years, our office became the point where people were checking in about what you could do with unmanned aerial systems. And so at some point, you have to have an entity, at least a task force, a working group, even on a temporary basis. And I think because of the number of dollars, which could be upwards close to $1 billion coming in with all these various tranches of money. And so it's going to be important, I believe, there to be some kind of working group for that, and that all that it be technology neutral, and that the various stakeholders be at the table for that. So that's what Amendment Number 3 does. It adds a resolve that such an entity be formed as a work group or however, so that we can have everyone at the table. So any questions? Yes, Senator Myers.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So you were relating this to unmanned aerial systems and the like. And the question that I have is when unmanned aerial systems were coming into vogue in terms of the civilian market, recognizing they've been in the military for a lot longer, it made sense that we had to figure out a way how to integrate them into our system. We were facing challenges that we hadn't had to face with commercial aircraft in terms of how low they could fly, how small they were, and you know, how easy it was for them to get in the way of regular aircraft or firefighting operations, things like that. What I'm curious about is the need for this, because we're not necessarily talking about a lot of new technology, except in terms of the satellites, which is all handled at the federal level. We're simply talking about expanding what's already there. So I'm just curious what exactly it is that we need to coordinate with an office of this type.
And actually, thank you for that. We left it kind of open. I don't see it as a long-term office. I see it as a work group. That's what we did with unmanned aerial systems. We had a task force. I think it existed 3 or 4 years. Part of it was things, you know, there were a lot of unknown questions, like you mentioned. But even with this, we've got new technology with the LEOs coming on board. So it's just an opportunity to keep everyone on the same page and just work together to make sure that we're getting the coverage across the state and just keep the communication open. So I don't see it. And we might want to even focus it particularly on regarding the incoming funding, a temporary entity. I'd be open if you had a conceptual amendment to the amendment, because that what is the intention. And I can see reading it here, it doesn't really, that's not very clear.
All right, Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Myers.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I will move a conceptual amendment to Amendment Number 3. To simply place the word temporary between the words A and centralized on line 8.
And I will object for purposes of any further discussion in case any members have any comments or questions. Okay, so seeing none, I'll remove my objection. Are there further objections? So the conceptual amendment to add the word temporary between the word A and centralized on line 2 has been adopted.
Okay. All right.
And I'm going to take an at ease. We're back on the record, and I am going to move another conceptual amendment to delete the word entity and insert in its place working group.
And I will object for purposes of discussion.
Are there any comments or questions from committee members? Hearing none.
I will remove my objection.
And are there further objections? Hearing none, the Senator Gray Jackson, did you have?
No, I was talking too loud. I'm sorry, Madam Chair. I said, that's good.
Sorry. All right, thank you. So the conceptual amendment to delete the word entity and in its place insert working group has been adopted. So now we are back at Amendment B3, the entire amendment as amended with two conceptual amendments. Senator Myers, would you like to remove your objection?
Yes, Madam Chair. I will remove my objection to Amendment 3.
Are there any further objections? Hearing none, Amendment B3 has been adopted. Thank you, members. Okay. Now we are going to move on to public testimony. And we have, is there anyone in the room who would like to testify? Seeing none, we have a couple people online. So we're going to start with Charles McKee. Charles McKee, please identify yourself for the record and any affiliation you may have and proceed with your testimony on SJR 3 regarding broadband deployment.
Yes, how many minutes do I have? Don't start now until I know that.
Oh, yes, and thank you for reminding me. I should have said that. You have 3 minutes.
Okay, thank you. My name is Charles McKee. I'm a Holden Duke course, and I own my own name. And as I indicated with the material that I sent down to you, you should understand that Lewis T. McFadden initiated HCR Federal, which established the Social Security Agency, and that's where all our credit on account is coming from. You talked about public money. I hope you do understand that that's what the situation is. Public money is coming off your birth certificate. If you don't have full control over your birth certificate, you don't have full control over your account, but I do. So I wanted to point that out. When I make when I said structural integrity, I wrote structural integrity on that information. I referred to the Black's Law Dictionary. Federal are payees. State is also a payee at the secondary level. Then the judges in district court was a trustee and or payee and the clerk of court. It goes like that. So I've got a charge for remedy in court, $80 million for the chokehold placed on me since 1983, which is why I sent that publication for libel and slander against my name by the administration. It happened to be Sheffield administration, but still state of Alaska administration perpetrated the lie against me. I notice Senator Hoffman isn't on the committee today, but he goes all the way back to 1986. But he might remember that Alaska was sued by the state Supreme Court from Vonderheit Supreme Court. I mean, not state, state Supreme Court, but senior court judge Vonderheit sued. And I was in his office.
Mr. McKee, you have about a minute left. Can you speak to SJR 13, please?
That's what I'm talking about. I'm trying to say, I'm talking about the money. You talked about public account. I want to be involved, but I want my $80 million restitution for remedy and the harm done, because I'm establishing the fact of egregious action by people involved and municipal, state action against my constitutional rights. So I'd like to be a party to this. I was involved when ATU was in Anchorage and GCI was just getting started. I did the mathematical equation on the Big Bang. That's the numerical equation, not just for pi, but infinity. And then I have access, I have the right to the Treasury seal. The whole thing is got a lot of ambiguity to it because you people aren't paying attention. You're just going along with the flow. I'm not a, I don't approve of the abridging of constitutional rights to individuals by getting mandated imposition on right-of-ways just to do this.
Mr. McKee, your time is up. Can you make a final closing statement, please?
My final closing statement is read the material I submitted. Based on the gospel, you people are violating my spiritual and constitutional rights.
Thank you very much, Mr. McKee, for your testimony today. Next we have for testimony is Marge Sponeking. Marge Sponeking, can you please identify yourself for the record and any affiliation you may have and proceed with your testimony?
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Marge Sponeking with AARP Alaska. I'd like to thank the committee for bringing this resolution forward. AARP supports the majority of goals of the joint resolution and urges the inclusion of consumers in addition to providers in the process of determining how to reduce the digital divide in Alaska. AARP is a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization that works on issues that matter to elders and their families, including caregiving, aging in place, and access to affordable high-speed internet service, also known as broadband. Ubiquitous, affordable, reliable, high-speed internet access can benefit all segments of our society, including seniors. For elders, access to broadband makes aging in place possible by providing access to telehealth, civic engagement, entrepreneurism, teleworking, connections with friends and family, educational opportunities, and vital assistance programs. Those lacking high-speed internet often feel isolated, and has been well documented over the past year. The COVID-19 pandemic has been particularly isolating for older persons, many of whom need care but are safer and better off at home and prefer to be at home in their communities rather than in a clinical setting. And access to virtual communications options can be essential to one's emotional, physical, mental, and social well-being. For these reasons, AARP urges you to take the next step by creating a cross-cutting governance structure in the form of a state broadband office in the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development, or at the Denali Commission, as recommended in the 2019 blueprint. The Alaska Broadband Task Force served the purpose well at the time in bringing stakeholders together to set goals that were then laid out in the 2014 blueprint. And the Denali Commission updated the blueprint plan in 2019. However, no designated entity exists to oversee the implementation of the plan, continue engagement with diverse stakeholders, and ensure equity and accountability in federal funding decisions. Strategic data analysis, broad stakeholder engagement, infrastructure funding decisions, and oversight of broadband markets should be the focus of a dedicated state broadband office that can help policymakers to make informed decisions about how to reduce and eventually eliminate the digital divide in Alaska and to bring digital equity to all Alaskans. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share AARP's views on this matter, and we look forward to continued opportunity to partner with you as you build the vision for growing broadband access and affordability in Alaska.
Thank you very much for your testimony today. And if you weren't aware of the amendments prior to preparing your testimony, we did, as far as the consumer, we do have concluding consumers and the all Alaskans having a seat at the table. The working group, it's part of that may spur the need for something more permanent. But that is not yet known, but we do appreciate your interest in that and the engagement of AARP and the seniors as far as this resolution. We appreciate your support. So I do not see anyone else online. So with that, I will close public testimony.
Madam Chair, can we have a brief at ease?
Yes. We're back on the record, and this is your constitutional republic in live action. Listening to the testimony, we have a conceptual amendment from Senator Gray Jackson. Senator Gray Jackson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move a conceptual amendment on page 2, line 19, after the word providers, to insert the words and consumers.
And I'll object for purposes of discussion or comments.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just thought that the testimony from Ms. Stone King, just a light bulb went off in my head, and she was right that we should add and consumers in this joint resolution. So I really appreciate both you and Senator Myers for agreeing with me on this conceptual amendment. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Well, you don't quite know whether we agree yet. and we did include it in the, as far as all Alaskans having a seat at the table, but I do believe, I do support what you're trying to do here, and it makes it very clear. Senator Myers, did you have a comment?
Just a quick question, yes. We did pass Amendment 2, which in the same spot added the word stakeholders, and I was curious if you view that stakeholders is not broad enough to cover consumers or customers.
Thank you, Madam Chair. through the Chair, Senator Myers, I just think adding the word consumers is more of a reality when we're talking about providers and then folks who pay for services. Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Senator Myers.
Yeah, thank you. And the way that line would read, if we are to accept this, it would say to engage with and seek input from all stakeholders, including broadband providers and consumers in the state. So it does work nicely. Thank you. I'll remove my objection. Are there any further objections to the conceptual amendment to insert the words and consumers on line 19 between the word providers and the word in? Hearing no objections, further objections? Did I remove mine, didn't I?
Yes.
And I'm hearing no further objections. So with that, the conceptual amendment has been adopted. Thank you very much, Senator Gray Jackson.
Thank
we
you,
appreciate
Madam
your attentiveness to that. And so at this time, what is the will of the committee?
All right.
Senator Myers.
Madam Chair, I move that Senate Joint Resolution 13, Work Order 32-LS0756-B from committee as amended with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
At ease. Do we... We're back on the record, and I'm going to go ahead and close out. If we could stick around to sign the paperwork, just don't leave the room without signing. So are there any closing comments from members? Seeing none, we'll be holding the next Senate Community Regional Affairs Committee on Tuesday, April 27th, when we'll be holding a hearing on HB 10, Funter Bay Marine Park, Unagun Cemetery, and another hearing on SB 81 Village Public Safety Officer Grants. Seeing no other business before the committee, we will adjourn. Let the record reflect the time is brief at ease. Caught in the nick of time before we gavel out. So I, my following statement to the motion made by Senator Myers, seeing no objection, the bill moves from committee. We will sign the paperwork after we adjourn, which is now happening at 4:16 p.m.